Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Billy Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can do literally anything else.
And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all of our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love reviews. We need more of them. But really, the best review you can give is to tell your friends to listen to us. We're trying to grow our little podcast that could, and we would love if you told people, because word of mouth is the best review we can get. Also, I want to shout out the Discord. Mm-hmm. The Discord is popping.
Yeah.
People are saying things. People are sharing.
People are saying things.
People are saying things on the Discord. Somebody shared a crazy Kinsei video, a Kinsei dance video that went viral. And then I shared some Kinsei drama of a Kinsei that I was in.
Yeah.
Where I had to dance the merengue version of 50 Cent's In the Club. And if you want to hear all about that, you got to join the Discord.
You got to join the Discord because the internet is so vast. And like sometimes we can't talk about everything on the podcast, but then we can talk about it in the Discord.
In the Discord.
So get on the Patreon, get on the Discord. But today, we have an incredible guest.
Yes.
We have an amazing guest who, he's a patron.
He's a patron.
He's a patron. Our next guest is a comedian and performer who's written for The Onion, Z-Way on Showtime, Tuning Out the News, which I was on for a time. Though his two most important credits are that he is letting Millie stay at his place in L.A., and he is an active member of Grass Nation. It's Ron Metellus!
Thank you for having me. Did we settle on Grass Nation?
I think that
because
we're using Grass Nation a lot, but People liked Grastronaut.
Ron says Jurassic Park.
People do. The thing is, I said Jurassic Park, Jurassic World.
How would you spell Jurassic Park?
I think it's G-R-A-S-S-I-C. Grassic. Okay, because
he spelled it G-U-A-R, like Jurassic.
I guess it could. You know, maybe everyone can spell
it. It just looked off.
You know what? Millie called me out. She called me in, rather.
I called you in.
She called me in. She was like, Ron, why do you spell it that way?
And then
I texted. I was defensive right away. This is
very, very common for Ron.
Which is a common dynamic for me.
I call him in. He gets defensive. Then he waits 2 days, and then he processes it. And then he's like, actually, you're right.
Well, yeah. 2 days later, I was like, oh, Billy's right, because the problem with replacing the G and the J in Jurassic, G and J is basically the same sound. So it would just be
the
like...
The GIF people don't agree, and we don't have to go there yet. We established, first episode, that this is a GIF.
We don't get a GIF on this podcast.
A birthday GIF, you get a birthday gift. So we're
on this podcast,
a GIF.
We say GIF.
Okay, shoot me in the ear. That's my new tagline. I keep saying it. It's going to pick up.
Millie's making shoot me in the ear happen.
Yeah. Clip me in the ear for that one.
I'm going on the Discord, and I'm going to apologize, and I'm going to do the proper spelling.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Holding yourself accountable in the Discord. This is why you guys got to be in the Discord.
The Discord things are happening. Guys, Ron, you are heavy in the satirical comedy world, but also a lot of your personal projects are centered around sports. What is it about sports that you feel is so interesting or makes sports or ripe for satire?
Oh, that's a great question. I think where I come in with sports, it's just like how I can relate to other people, particularly to other men.
Yeah. Okay. I do think it helps.
Yeah.
I was a very sensitive boy.
Yeah.
We eat lunch with my English teachers.
Okay. I could see that.
Okay. Thank you. So I think that was where I could kind of like relate to the other boys was through sports and also to my dad. My dad was really heavy into sports as well. And I think it's like as a precocious child, if you know a lot about sports, like, grown-ups really like that.
Do you follow like all sports a little bit, or are there some when you're like, I'm not a baseball guy or whatever? Like,
I've baseball and hockey I've fallen a bit on the wayside, but like I'll read the scores for both of them just to be like, okay,
that happened.
The Phillies are good this year.
Ron's into golf a lot.
I'm big
into
golf.
So tell us the sports you do like, how deep you go in them, content you make. This was your like avenue to promote yourself with the projects. And also the thing that you do with Bleacher Report, like.
Oh, right. So I wrote for the last season of Gridiron Heights, which is a football animated football show. So check that. It's on TikTok. It's on YouTube. It's on all types of things.
If you're like into HBO NFL and comedy, that's it. And it's not.
My big sports, I would say now golf, NBA basketball, and college football. I went to go visit, so I was in Phoenix for at WNBA All-Star
Weekend.
Yeah, we're
going to talk about
that
later.
So I visited my cousin. He's got a wife, three kids, three dogs. What's on his TV screen? College football 25, PS5.
Jesus Christ.
The kids are doing training. The kids are doing little mini camps.
Wow.
Because... Okay, so this
Wait,
might not make...
Wait, he's watching college
he's
kids.
Playing. He's
oh,
playing.
He's
playing the football
like the game.
There was
He's playing a football... Wait, with college players?
There was a 9-year hiatus. College football 14 came out, I guess it was 10 years ago. And then they said, oh, actually, it's like low-key illegal to not pay our athletes, but then to...
Make them video game characters.
Yeah. Actually, and so they were going to sue EA. They were just like, we want our money. And it's like, you know what? Instead of paying you, we're just not going to make the game anymore.
Wow. Sounds
wow.
Which was financially onerous. They could have totally made money and also paid the players, but they were just like, we're not even going to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, but well, now, sounds like Hollywood. But
we live in a... Yeah, for sure. Now we live in a world where players can get paid off their name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
And so then the game has been brought back. So the game came out like a week ago. Everyone was like, is it going to come out? They're saying it's going to come out. It's not going to come out. It came out. And boy, are we back.
Wow.
We are back.
So
you could have a whole family. You could have a whole ass family. You know what?
And three dogs.
But this month is about College Football 25.
About playing fictional college kids.
That's beautiful.
That's crazy.
That's beautiful. Okay, so we've already established that you're a member of Grass Nation.
Yes.
You've listened to the pod. What are the biggest lessons that, like, how have we changed your life?
Yeah,
what
talk
are the
about
biggest
it.
Lessons
what
that
have you
learned
from this podcast?
From this educational podcast that we do.
I had a staffing meeting on a TikTok show, and they were just like, so what kind of sketches? Like, what kind of sketches would you want to write? And I was just like, do you know Pop the Balloon?
And that's a Patreon deep cut.
That's a Patreon deep dive.
Deep dive. And if you don't know what Pop the Balloon is, get on the Patreon. If you don't want to get on the Patreon, it's a black dating show where it's basically like Next, but when someone's not interested, they pop. Every contestant has a big balloon, and when they don't like somebody, they pop the balloon in their face.
Yes,
and it's very brutal.
And sometimes, in a Next like fashion, sometimes they'll immediately pop the balloon upon seeing the person, which is brutal. And then sometimes, the more the person talks, the more balloons start popping, and that's also brutal to watch as well.
It's all brutal. And then they'll ask people why they popped it.
Yeah,
and the people will be like, they're not physically attractive at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all brutal.
Well, once you started talking, like, pretty annoying voice. So I'm just like,
Well, that's tough. That's why I couldn't go on the show.
Yeah.
That's what we were saying. We were like, I said, because you asked me if I would go and pop the balloon, and I said I can't have that level of direct feedback.
No.
Like, I don't want that. I don't need it.
I need a buffer.
Yeah. And then, like, especially if it's, like, it's your personality.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's, like, you were just coming off as extremely annoying to me.
I didn't like the energy you brought. So I've learned a lot about the discourse. Those are my favorite episodes, is when I don't know anything about the discourse. And then I just get to be, like, oh, no way that happened.
Yeah.
Like, the DeLulu discourse.
Oh, the Jennifer Lopez discourse.
Mm-hmm. JLulu, yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know anything about that?
I didn't know if...
She was accused of murder? Of murder?
I'm like, okay, so it's like the back and forth between the influencer. Mm-hmm. And then when the influencer dies, I was gagged.
Yeah.
I was gagged.
It's crazy.
So I guess this won't be one of your favorite episodes because we are talking about something you know a lot about.
We picked it for you. But it'll be a favorite episode...
Of others.
So the discourse today is Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
So we're banking episodes. This is while we're in Los Angeles. And today's discourse is, again, about Angel Reese and the Caitlin Clark rivalry. This all relates to, it's like one of those things where sports versus internet, it's all intertwined. Mm-hmm. Who is Angel Reese? Okay, these birthdays depress me. Angel Reese, born on May 6, 2002.
Oh, no.
Tragic.
Tragic.
Offensive.
Post-9.
She's taller than all of us,
And
too.
She's taller than all of us. She's 6'3", Angel Reese.
That is tall.
Born on May 6, 2002. She's an American professional basketball player. Now she's with the Chicago Sky of the Women's National Basketball Association, the WNBA. She played college basketball at LSU and Maryland. Who is Caitlin Clark? Caitlin Clark, also an offensive birthday, born January 22nd, 2002.
Also rude.
Also offensive. She's an American professional basketball player for the Indiana Fever of the WNBA. She played college basketball for the Iowa Hawkeyes and is regarded as one of the greatest collegiate players of all time. Clark is was the NCAA Division I all-time leading scorer and was a two-time national player of the year with the Hawkeyes. It's important to know a big, big part of this discourse, of this rivalry, is that Caitlin is white and Angel is black. Very important, and we will get back to there. Okay, so let's talk about online profiles. Angel has 3.7 million followers on both Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. So on TikTok, she has 3.7. On Instagram, she has 3.7. Caitlin has 2.7 million followers on Instagram and 450,000 followers on TikTok.
Wow, that's kind of surprises me because I feel like she's so very famous.
Okay, but this is the distinction this is Millie editorializing now. Mm-hmm. If we're looking at general vibes and personality, to me, Angel Reese is more fun. Angel Reese's online presence is participating in dance trends, doing her makeup, or like she has like different makeup looks, hair, fashion, going to parties. And Caitlin's IG and TikTok is just all about basketball. Caitlin only has like 5 posts on TikTok and it's all basketball shit. And her Instagram is all like basketball or basketball-related sponsored content, where Angel's is more of like this glimpse into kind of like a normal, hot 22-year-old girl who also happens to do basketball. So I think that like she's just giving more.
Yeah, and
like
there's just more going on.
There's just
page.
More going on. She's experimenting with different looks. Like, it's really fun. So to me, that was just a clear, like, why she has more followers.
I guess it still surprises me because I just feel like based off of just the shine of Caitlin Clark, I would think she'd have a million at least on both just because she's so famous. Because I feel like there are celebrities who don't post that much, but, like, they have a million just based on their own fame. So it still surprises me that it was, like, 400,000 on TikTok?
450, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like...
She's not posting.
We see fashion girlies. Yeah, but I feel like even famous people, even if they're not posting, sometimes we'll have a big account.
You would think, like, if I'm following basketball accounts, that Instagram would be like, do you want to follow Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
Well, Caitlin Clark, has 2.7 on Instagram. Yeah. It's just TikTok that she doesn't have.
She's lower.
And the FYP on TikTok is different. Like,
yeah, I guess if you're not posting.
If you're not posting, and it is like the lottery system we've talked about. So it's not like follow these accounts. It's like follow this post, you know?
Yeah.
So it is like.
Yeah, she's not like, posting. People may not even realize that she has a TikTok.
Mm-hmm. I bet like people don't even realize she has a TikTok.
Interesting. Okay. I find that very interesting.
Interesting. So let's talk about NCAA 2023 season, right? So the NCAA, which is national, and if you think I'm being like so dumbed down when explaining things, like people will talk after, people will send us messages like, thank you for breaking this down in the simplest terms. Like people don't know.
Also, I need it broken down in the simplest terms.
Thank you.
So please like do explain absolutely every detail of everything.
Okay. So the NCAA stands for the National Collegiate Athletic Association, which is like the highest whatever division. Anyway. In her junior
NCAA before.
Thank you. In her junior year, Angel Reese transferred to LSU and was a unanimous first-team All-American selection. As a sophomore, Clark was a unanimous first-team All-American and became the first women's player to lead Division I in points and assists in a single season. In her junior season, she was the National Player of the Year and led Iowa to its first national championship game. Clark led Division I in assist and set Big Ten single season marks in points and assist. Okay? So Angel's really good. She gets transferred to LSU. Clark is really good. She makes a lot of points and takes Iowa to their first ever national game, right? Okay. Since Caitlin's college career, she has helped popularize women's basketball in a trend called the Caitlin Clark effect. So the popularity of women's basketball has been attributed to Caitlin Clark, mm-hmm. which we'll decide later. But, you know, it's very controversial to say, like, she, whatever. Okay. So, during the finals in 2023, during the finals, when Caitlin Clark would score on people, she would do the popular you can't see me gesture, waving her hand in front of her face, a taunt popularized by professional wrestler John Cena. Right?
I love that John Cena's involved.
You're going to do Tony Yayo like that? We're going to do Tony Yayo erasure?
Okay, so you're saying it wasn't John Cena, it was Tony Yayo.
Tony Yayo brought it out.
Okay.
John Cena did, in fact, popularize it. But Tony Yayo was the first one.
I said a top popularized.
Tony Yayo.
I said it was popularized. I didn't say created.
You're right.
I said a top popularized by John Cena.
I'm saying a Haitian rapper deserves his credit. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, we got one Haitian on the fucking pod, and now we have to speak for Haitian rights. And as a Dominican person, I'm listening, I'm learning, I'm being quiet, I'm giving you space, I'm being called in. Tony Yayo created You Can't See Me. John Cena popularized it. Okay. So let's go to the finals. In the finals, it was Iowa. Caitlin Clark plays for Iowa. Mm-hmm. Iowa's team is mostly white women. Versus LSU, which is Angel Reese's team, and it's mostly mm-hmm. black women.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
LSU is the one where they have the coach who wears all the crazy outfits.
Yes.
Kim Mulkey.
Yeah,
okay.
Kim Mulkey, that's a whole other
part. That's a different... She's put a pin in Kim Mulkey discourse.
Bananas, crazy. She's wearing crazy outfits. Kind of racist, kind of homophobic. We can't get there.
Okay. I wish we could, though.
I wish we could. That could be a Patreon app.
I was like, I have to visualize it. I'm like, LSU, they have that lady who wears the big bird clothes.
It's a mostly black team, and then they have this white Southern woman who dresses crazy. And then Iowa is mostly white, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Angel Reese helped LSU win its first national championship. She posted 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists in a 102 versus 85 points victory over Iowa in the title game. She won the Most Outstanding Player Award and set the NCAA single season record with 34 doubles in the closing minutes of the game. Right? And so they're whooping Iowa's ass. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark in other games was being like, you can't see me to other people, right?
Yeah.
So in this game where Angel Reese, and everyone's like, Caitlin Clark is popularizing Caitlin Clark, and Caitlin Clark's like being lauded as as NCAA women's basketball star. Angel Reese's team, mostly black, whoops their ass, And in the closing minutes of the game, Reese followed Caitlin Clark around the court and made a "you can't see me" gesture to her and pointing to her finger to reference that she's about to win the championship ring. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Her actions came under scrutiny with some journalists and analysts criticizing Angel Reese for her poor sportsmanship. They're saying, this is classless. She's a piece of shit. People called her a piece of shit. All this stuff. Reese had this to say. All year, which is true, all year I was criticized for who I was. I don't fit the narrative. I don't fit the box that y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood, too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year, Reese said. Then in an apparent reference to Clark, she added, when other people do it, y'all don't say nothing. So this is for the girls that look like me, for those that want to speak up for what they believe in. It's unapologetically you. So again, Reese pointed to the double standard that Clark had not received similar backlash for making the "you can't see me" gesture two games earlier. Mm-hmm. Clark later defended Reese, you know, for the criticism for the gesture, and the incident grew attention to the roles of race and gender in the perception of trash talk in sports. Since again, Reese is black, Clark is white. Reese was named the most outstanding player of 2023 NCAA Women's Basketball Championship, and Clark was named Naismith Player of the Year. Following the game, First Lady Jill Biden remarked that she wanted Iowa to be invited to the White House along with LSU as an addition to the custom of the president and the first lady hosting the national champions. So again, LSU beats Iowa's ass in this thing. And Angel Reese gets a lot of shit. But again, people are all like in love with Caitlin Clark. And Joe Biden's like, I want both teams to come. So this is what Joe Biden said. I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. We always do. So we hope LSU will come. But, you know, I'm going to tell Joe, I think Iowa should come too because they played such a good game. And it really pissed off a lot of people, including Angel Reese, who said, I just know if the roles were reversed, it wouldn't be the same. If we were to lose, we would not be getting invited to the White House. I remember she made a comment that both teams should be invited because it was about sportsmanship. So Angel Reese took that as a dig of like her saying, or Jill Biden saying like, it's more sportsmanlike to have both teams or whatever. But at the end of the day, you wouldn't invite an all-black team that just lost to the White House along with the white team that won the championship. But it's like, it seems like there's some kind of double standard. So, but the sportsman thing wasn't directly said by Joe Biden. That was, like, debunked. So this is, again, this is Angel Reese said a longer statement. And I'm like, are you saying that because of what I did, in, like, the "you can't see me" stuff? Stuff like that, it bothers me because you're a woman. At the end of the day, white, black, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to be standing behind us before anything. So it's hard to see these things like that and not to comment on it. But at the same time, I have a platform right now where I can speak out and a lot of people have had my back through it. I'm proud to be in a situation like this. Nobody is giving her grace right now. Trust me, nobody's giving her grace. And that's why she's trying to backtrack on what she said. So it was such a mess for Jill Biden, you know, because she looked fucking stupid because obviously it did come off as kind of racist. So Jill Biden's press secretary had to walk back Joe Biden's statement saying her comments in, her comments in Colorado, which is where she did, were intended to applaud the historic game and all women athletes. She looks forward to celebrating the LSU Tigers on their championship win at the White House. Then Angel Reese was reached for comment. She said, I don't accept that. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't accept that apology because she said what she said. You can't go back on certain things that you say. You felt that they should have came because of sportsmanship, right? Iowa can have the spotlight. We'll go to the Obamas. We'll see Michelle. We'll see Barack.
I mean, I would rather go to the Obamas' house kind of any day.
Yeah.
But so, but the sportsmanship thing, she didn't actually say
but she hinted at it. But that's what Angel Reese felt like that's what she was commenting on, was like, Angel Reese was criticized about not being sportsmanship by doing this. And then...
Which is so funny because it's such like a mild It's thing such to a mild thing.
What a child would do.
Yeah, like it feels very... I don't know. Again, I'm like not a sports person, but I feel like people do like mild taunts to it. Am I right in thinking like that's not that crazy to wave your hand in front of your face?
Yeah. I think that kind of represents the double bind that the WNBA is in right now because... They have a goal to grow the game together, but it's also a competition.
Yeah.
And so you have Jill Biden being like, we're growing the game together. We should all be at the White House together to show unity, which is well-meaning, but it's also like there are winners and losers in sports.
Yeah, and that's how sports become, like, that's how people get invested. Like, when there actually is a really good rivalry in sports, like a Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, like... People tune in to see that, and they don't want the end result to be like, but both girls were so good that everybody comes to the White House.
And it's also, like, a little insulting to, like, women. Well, it's insulting because of the race thing, but it's also, like, women athletes, like, it's, like, it doesn't have any stakes. Like, they should just love have for the love of the game. Yes. And it's, like, no, these are competitors. They've been training all year, like, that, like... shit talking, and it's like, yeah, Caitlin Clark was shit talking for a while, and then she got her ass handed to her, and it's like, to be like, we are all sisterhood. It's like that kind of shit that like really undermines the effort of women as athletes. I do have to say that Biden did have to personally call Joe Biden, the president, personally called Angel Reese and their coach, which usually when an NCAA champion wins, the president calls the coach and congratulates them. But after this mess, Biden called Angel directly and congratulated. And then after that, LSU came to the White House.
Okay.
So that was never done before of the president calling a player. But it was such a fuck up that Jill did. And then that's when they came. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, it's laying the seeds for a lot of drama.
Okay. We're ready to keep going?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
2024 NCAA season.
Rematch.
Rematch. So 2024 season was a little rough for Angel. Given like the new, given like all the press and everything. And again, she's still in college. Like she was like bullied a lot. And she also was getting more opportunities. And she actually was becoming an influencer herself. So 2024 was kind of rough for Angel entering her senior season. Reese was named an AP preseason All-American and preseason SEC Player of the Year. On November 14th, 2023, she had 11 points and 5 rebounds in a 109-79 win over Kent State. But she was benched for the second half, which Mulkey described as a coach's decision, and she did not elaborate. Reese did not play in LSU's next four games for undisclosed reason. Mulkey later attributed Reese's absence to locker room issues. So Reese has this great season. Coming out of it, she's getting a lot of press. She's getting a lot of attention, whatever. The rumors are starting to float that, like, she has a bad attitude. She's not doing well in classes. She's getting benched a lot. All this stuff, right?
LSU's losing as well.
LSU's losing a lot, right? Then Caitlin Clark, her senior year, she was named preseason Big Ten Player of the Year and earned unanimous AP preseason All-American honors. On October 15, 2023, she played in crossover at Kinnick and a preseason exhibition game against DePaul at Kinnick Stadium. She had a triple-double of 34 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists in a 94-72 win. The game had an attendance of 55,646, which set the record for women's basketball.
Ooh, that's insane.
I know. So the rest of the season, basically the rest of the season, Clark would keep scoring a lot. And Clark left Iowa with the most career points. So she scores a lot. She scored 3,951 points. And most career points and most three-pointers, which are 548.
More points, men or women. Anyone who's ever played college basketball, she has the most points.
Yeah. The second most triple-doubles, 17, and the third most assists, 1,144 in Division I history. Iowa was in the finals, but lost to South Carolina. So, again, LSU didn't win. Iowa didn't win. South Carolina is also like an all-black team. Mm-hmm. So there's, it's very interesting. Like, it's just interesting with these dynamics because Caitlin scores a lot. But, and you can tell us about, like, the basketball of it all. But to me, it seems like Caitlin's good at scoring, but not good at leading her team to a victory. But she's getting all this attention because she's good at scoring. And they're like, women's basketball. But, like, these black teams are actually beating her. And, like, none of them are getting, like, the same recognition or, like, whatever. And also that, like, to attribute, like, oh, Caitlin Clark has popularized women's basketball. And it's like, these teams that are beating her are making it good to watch, too. But we're giving all this, I don't know.
You need a foil.
Yeah.
If it was just Caitlin Clark running over teams and never losing, then I don't think anyone would really care. You need good teams to come up against.
Yeah.
But she's like, Caitlin Clark is in like a, she's in a good position because she led the league in assists the last 2 years. She just set the WNBA record for assists in a game. She had 19 assists in a game. She's an incredible passer and a playmaker, but in Iowa and in the WNBA, whenever she loses, everyone's just like, oh, her teammates suck. it's just like 10 white girls that you could have got from anywhere. So she's like kind of like an enviable position to like whenever she loses, she has an excuse that like if only she played with better teammates, which is what Angel, I mean, Angel's always, at LSU, Angel's had good players around her. Mm-hmm. South Carolina, I mean, everyone on their team is like 4 or 5 star prospect. Mm-hmm. And Angel is playing with a good team right now in the WNBA, but like Caitlin Clark has plausible deniability for all of her.
Is there like an element of like, is she particularly fun to watch?
Does
she have that kind of like flourish or whatever that sometimes a player has? Like,
I think to me, and before we move on, but like to me, she's like good technically. But she doesn't have the riz to me.
I disagree, Millie.
You think she has the riz?
And it makes an interesting race analysis because when you think about white basketball players, grit, hustle, determination.
Yeah.
It's like they're not athletic. Like Caitlin isn't the fastest, but she has like step back threes. Like she plays kind of like Steph Curry or like a James Harden. So like she's really fun to watch. Mm. Angel Reese is more of like a gritty, like hustle player. She's more of like a Charles Barkley, Kevin Love. She's not the most athletic, coordinated person, but she's just like cares more than anyone else.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know. To me, like watching Angel's like, she's got like, I don't know. It's exciting in a different way.
Yeah.
But I'm not a basketball person. Anyway, let's talk about draft picks. So, okay, that was in March, like that was March Madness. Iowa didn't win, LSU didn't win, South Carolina won.
But real quick, they didn't play each other in the finals, but they played each other in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And Iowa did avenge their
They beat LSU. But people were like, should LSU have been that early? Should they have played that early to begin with? Like it was kind of fucked up.
The draw was messed up. I think that they should have played either in the finals or the semifinals.
Yeah. So that was also like a thing of like, of course, somebody has to win or lose, but they were very early on in like the tournament.
Yeah. It goes back to what Millie was saying about the rough start to the year for Angel. Mm-hmm. So LSU was kind of in a hole. They started playing well later on in the season, but by then they couldn't be a 2 seed or a 1 seed. Mm. They had lost too many in the beginning of the year. Mm. Anyway.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about draft picks. So on February 29th, 2024, Clark announced that she wanted to go for the WNBA. Because of COVID, college players could play an extra season to make up for the 2020-2021. But Clark was like, no, I'm going to go to the WNBA, even though she could have done one
goated.
More.
Goated.
Yeah,
goated. Goated move.
You think she was leaning in there? Yeah.
She was projected to be the first overall pick in the 2024 WNBA draft by many publications, including ESPN, US Today, and CBS Sports. On April 3rd, 2024, Reese declared for the 2024 NBA draft, where she was projected to be a first-round pick. On April 15th, 2024, Clark was selected as the first overall pick for the of the 2024 WNBA draft by the Indiana Fever. Mm-hmm. Reese was selected as the seventh overall pick in the 2024 WNBA draft by the Chicago Sky. So now let's talk about the body slam incident.
Oh, yeah.
This I heard a lot about because my husband watches ESPN and I was just like, what is like, it was on constantly. They were talking about this.
So on Sunday, June 2nd, during a game with the Chicago Sky versus Indiana Fever, which is, again, Angel Reese's team versus Caitlin Clark's team, player Shenity Carter gave a shoulder shot to Clark that knocked her to the floor before an inbound pass during the third quarter of Saturday's 71-7 win by the Fever. The officials, so it was like the ball wasn't in play, and she just like shoulder
checked. It was a body check.
It was a body check. During the game, it was deemed as a common foul. After the game, Clark was like, I wasn't expecting it. It is what it is. It's a physical game. Go make the free throw and execute on offense. I feel like that's kind of what we did. So a lot of people were pissed because it was, like, very aggressive. It's unnecessary. And the WNBA upgraded Shenity Carter's foul against Caitlin Clark to a flagrant one violation. Though they didn't assign any fines to Shenity Carter, Chicago rookie Angel Reese, however, ended up with a $1,000 fine for failing to make herself available to press during the post-game press conference, right? So right after she did the shoulder check, I think Angel Reese, like, gave Shenity a high five or something.
Yeah. This was replayed a lot. Everyone was like, and then Angel Reese high-fived her.
Angel Reese also elbowed Caitlin Clark in that game.
Yeah.
When they were going for a rebound, she elbowed her, and Caitlin Clark fell to the floor.
To what degree is that, like, normal or not?
That's normal.
It's normal. Like, it's, I don't know. So
the Kennedy Carter thing was not normal. Okay, body checking was not normal, but it happened. That was targeted.
But that was targeted, but it happened. But the elbow thing, whatever. Chicago Sky got, so she got, Angel got fined $1,000 for not showing up. And the Chicago Sky got hit with $5,000 for not showing up. I will say, a $1,000 fine for an NBA player is nothing. These girls, when Caitlin Clark got signed to the Indiana Fever and they showed what her contract was, all this shit that we're talking about, Caitlin Clark, her first year she's making $70K.
Yeah. So some asshole. That's insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some asshole at Deloitte, like intern, whatever, is making more money than Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So $1,000 is probably a sizable chunk. Yeah. What a lot of these places do is like the salary will be short, like cheap or like less, but then they'll pay for housing or they'll give other incentives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we're talking about Caitlin and Angel, their endorsements are insane. So they're both making money. Fine. Kennedy Carter, probably $1,000 would affect.
Yeah, but they didn't charge her.
Yeah.
But then she said, Kennedy said, I'm not going to answer any questions about Caitlin Clark. Yes. So after the game, Clark fans were less, you know, even though Clark was like, it happens, like, this is a little crazy, but whatever. Clark fans were not able to, like, let it go. They were all tweeting, like, tell me again how Caitlin Clark is not being targeted and treated unfairly, you know, directly. And then another said, WNBA are not pleading the hating Caitlin Clark allegations at all. They're mad. So, like, a lot of people have been, like, the narrative has been that because Caitlin Clark was the one who popularized women basketball and women's sports, that all the other black WNBA players are jealous of her. And any chance they get, they're going to, like, fucking body check her and they're going to be violent towards her and all that stuff.
Yeah. I feel like I was seeing that on ESPN and like there was a very gleeful attitude about being like, look, reverse racist is the finest. They've reverse racisted her.
Yeah. So now we're going to watch this video now.
Okay, whether you're into basketball or not, let me explain to you all of the drama going on in the WNBA right now involving Caitlin Clark with all the context. This weekend was the first game between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese in the WNBA. It was a highly anticipated matchup. We knew it was going to be competitive and eyes were going to be on it. The game was super close, super competitive, and the Fever beat the Sky by 1 point. The moment everyone's talking about the game is when Kennedy Carter body checked Caitlin Clark and knocked her to the ground. It was aggressive, it was unnecessary, and it was clearly on purpose, and it was when the ball wasn't in play, and so it was called an off-ball common foul. A lot of people were upset that Kennedy didn't get any extra or additional punishments because it was clearly on purpose. Afterwards, Angel Reese high-fived her. Everybody seemed like they were happy about it. A day later, the WNBA upgraded the foul from a common foul to a flagrant one and fined Angel Reese $1,000 for not making herself available to the media after the game. After the game, during her media availability, Kennedy Carter said she's not answering any Caitlin Clark-related questions. And obviously, Angel Reese didn't do media and ended up getting fined for it. Which, like, $1,000 is pocket change to Angel Reese. Like, she don't care. Now, some eagle-eyed fans have found that Caitlin Clark's boyfriend has been liking hate tweets about Angel Reese for over a year now. Including this infamous tweet from Dave Portnoy calling Angel a classless piece of shit for doing the ring gesture that Caitlin had done first. Her brother liked this tweet where it was like Angel Reese had 8 offensive rebounds. And then her brother liked this hate response that said 2-9, what's that smell? Here's another one from the boyfriend. He liked this tweet about Angel and Caitlin being named co-athletes of the year. And somebody replied and said, imagine averaging 30 and carrying your team to a final and you have to share an award because the publication is afraid of internet outrage. There's like a whole thread on Twitter of tweets that Caitlin's boyfriend and her brother have been liking about Angel. And we can't control our families. I'm not here to say that this is Caitlin's fault. I'm just giving context that if I were Angel and I saw your man liking tweets calling me a classless piece of shit in public, knowing people are gonna find it, I would feel some type of way. Another piece of context I feel like people are leaving out is that Caitlin had elbowed Kennedy on an earlier play. Kennedy is known for being a very physical player, not just with Caitlin, with everyone. And had anyone else elbowed her, she would respond the exact same way. Like, this is not new. Now the public is in outrage saying that the WNBA needs to do something to protect Caitlin because if she gets hurt, it's going to be horrible for the league. And Caitlin was like, look, I'm aware that I'm going to get a bunch of hard fouls. It's just a part of the game. Like, it's fine. This experience is not exclusive to Caitlin. Angel got clotheslined like last week. But I think that Kennedy Carter deserved a flagrant one. I don't think that this was a good look. And I'll give more of my thoughts later. But what do you guys think about this whole thing?
Ooh. So, guys, what do you think about this whole thing?
Wow, that's, I guess, like the tweets are interesting. The liking a Dave Portnoy tweet that calls someone a classless piece of shit is not
good. Already liking, first of all, engaging with Barstool Sports, you're racist. Like, already, like, I'm sorry, you're on a list.
It's a huge red flag.
Huge red flag.
Well, this is like, you were describing Caitlin's lack of an online persona, and it makes it easy for people to project their beliefs onto her. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit of a problem now because she's kind of afraid to say anything, to take a stand on anything.
Well, we'll talk about that later. We're going to talk about that in a second, but reaction to the context and the tweets.
Well, yeah, it was like, well, if you don't say something and then I see your boyfriend liking tweets, of course I'm going to project his opinions onto you because he has the freedom to like these shitty tweets, whereas you can't speak freely.
Yeah, like if it was one tweet and not the classless piece of shit one, it's like, okay, whatever, your girl's in a rivalry, you like to tweet, whatever. But it is also like, dude, your likes aren't public anymore.
But Elon. They were at that time. Elon.
And they were at that time, number one. And number two, I guess the way I would feel, like if I was Angel Reese and I saw that Caitlin Clark's boyfriend was liking all of these tweets bashing me, I would be like, oh, this is how they talk about me.
Absolutely.
Behind closed doors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I would feel.
I want to make a point about the Caitlin getting fouled, because I do think she's getting fouled more than usual. But I think that there's a bit of a conflation happening where it's like, just like the basketball game itself, in the heat of the moment, people are going to be really physical with Caitlin Clark. They don't want Caitlin Clark to embarrass them because she's been getting all this attention.
Mm-hmm.
But that's in the competition.
Yeah.
After the competition is over, that doesn't mean I hate Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
you want to humble somebody who's getting like a lot of, I can't imagine what it feels like to be these women who like have been busting their ass for years, and then this young white girl comes and she's fine. I don't know, you're saying she's great, whatever, but like
she's good.
But like, so are a lot of women who are players, you know, and they're like, they're really good and they've been working their ass off with like no one at the thing, and now people are like suddenly like, what? Like, I would be kind of salty too.
Athletes have pride. Like, yeah. Famously, athletes have pride.
Yes.
And they have confidence. I don't know if you've met an athlete before.
Yes.
But yeah, that's it's a problem where people kind of conflate on court behavior with off the court feelings. And it's not always the same.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not the same exact thing because like wrestling is not. It's like written, but it was so interesting to see when I worked at WWE, we'd write these storylines where it was like people would be rivalry or whatever. And then like, and these guys are like, I hate your guts. And they're like beating the shit out of each other and blood comes out. And then after you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I missed your phone. And they're so sweet and they're so nice. And it's like, yeah, like that is kind of like, I mean, I'm not saying that like basketball is the same as wrestling, but it's like, yeah, like.
Or even comedy, like if I'm on a stand-up showcase with someone who's like 25, has all of these credits, like has a million followers, it's like,
well, that's my life, yeah.
I've never experienced that.
It's like I want to text my friend just being like, that person bombed, like I killed, he bombed.
And that
I
mean, is why you body checked. Yeah,
that's
right?
Why. That's why I body checked all of Please Don't Destroy.
Oh wow. That's why we love you, Ben Marshall.
We can edit it out and only Ben.
No, yeah. We're
edit that out.
It. No. We're keeping it.
We like Ben
Ron
and only.
Body checking.
Yeah. I body checked Ben Marshall.
And it's crazy because Ben Marshall is 6'2", and you are not. So
you don't think I could?
I'm not answering that.
Yeah, but the way you kicked the little one was that was
unfair.
Because he's small. Yeah, because that one's small.
Protect Martin Higgins at all costs. We gotta protect Martin. But it's like we're competitive in our field,
of course.
And if someone's getting all this attention, it's just like, but I like I'm serious about my craft as well. Yeah. And I want to show people that, like, I have skill, too. But then if we're in the green room and they're nice, I'm not going to be shitty to that person. Yeah. I'm going to treat them like an equal.
And in the same breath, there are probably teammates that you hate.
Yeah.
There are teammates that you hate and you can't stand. But then on the court, you got to work as a team and you got to whatever.
Yeah, and then you're high-fiving. You're listening to each other. Totally. I mean, this is, like, the benefit of sports and why a lot of people commenting on sports could probably use, like, they could have used sports in their youth to understand that you have to get along with people that you might not agree with or have things in common with.
Yeah.
But you have a bigger goal.
So, yeah. And one more thing again is, like, the missing context in all of this was that Caitlin elbowed Kennedy first.
I didn't know that.
And Kennedy is a violent player.
Has bounced around the league from team to team because of her issues
with
in the
violence,
locker room.
Yeah.
Because she's a violent player, but she's so good, though.
So these are things. So again, it's not necessarily that she just whatever. Caitlin fucking whatever elbowed her, and then she did a little extra, which she's known to do. Okay. So on June 5th, so this was all that happened on June 2nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
June 5th, the popular rookie, Angel Reese, and other Chicago Sky players claimed that Kennedy Carter was targeted by an aggressive Caitlin Clark fan while trying to get off their bus. Carter was, again, at the center of the WNBA discourse since the hard foul against Indiana player Caitlin Clark went viral. So a man was attempting to approach Carter as she got off her team bus, and the culprit also harassed staff and other team players. So it got so crazy that all the members of Chicago Sky were tweeting about it. And then one said, getting harassed at our hotel is where the line needs to be drawn. Some fans have no chill. I think Angel Reese wrote this. We have security and they did. No, somebody else wrote this. Sorry. And they did a great job of de-escalating the situation / protecting us. It's still extremely weird and crosses the boundaries, meeting us right when we get off the bus. According to Sky player Isabel Harrison, Carter couldn't even step off the bus. And Isabel Harrison said, thank God for security. My teammate being harassed at our hotel is insane. Angel Reese further denounced the incident on Twitter, telling fans that coming to their hotel to put a camera on her teamwork's face is nasty work. This is really out of control and it needs to stop. So finding out our team's hotel to pull a camera. Yeah, okay, I just repeated that. So, yeah, again, fans are escalating it. It's getting really crazy. And then I'm going to show one video where Caitlin Clark is asked directly, like, again, it's not just this fan getting physical, but now fans are actually, like,
showing up
places, tweeting racist things at other WNBA players, all this stuff. And Caitlin Clark was reached her comment, and now we're going to see.
Is it Caitlin Clark's responsibility to tell her fans to stop being racist, homophobic, just generally bigots towards other players in the league? 100% it is. Hey, I'm Coach Jackie. I make videos all about women's sports, and this conversation is a long time coming, and I'm glad we're having it. It's undeniable that ever since LSU beat Iowa in the national championships in 2023, there has been a conversation whenever fans try to defend Caitlin Clark where they are absolutely racist towards her black opponents. That's just true. That just happens. Is it Caitlin Clark's fault that that happens? No, it's not, right? People say things. However, after a couple years of them saying it, it is her responsibility to speak up and say, stop saying that. Yesterday morning after shootaround, Caitlin Clark was asked about all this.
About people using your name in whatever culture wars or whatever wars they're fighting. How do you feel about that?
It's not something I can control, so, I don't put too much thought and time into thinking about things like that. And to be honest, I don't see a lot of it. Like I've said, like, basketball's my job. Like, everything on the outside, I can't control that, so I'm not going to spend time thinking about that. People can talk about what they want to talk about, create conversations about, whatever it is, but I'm just here to play basketball. I'm here to have fun.
As soon as that clip was published, there was immediate backlash online, as there should be, because everything she said was just white privilege. She's saying, I just want to have fun. I just want to play basketball. There are members of this league that also just want to have fun and want to play basketball, but they can't because of the way that your fans are talking to them and speaking to them. And for anyone who says she doesn't see it, I think it's been years and she probably does, but also not seeing it is the privilege. So all day long, it's fans in the media talking about this. And then in the afternoon, we get our first player, Dejanae Carrington, who plays for the Sun, tweeting how one cannot be bothered by their name being used to justify racism, bigotry, misogyny, xenophobia, homophobia, and the intersectionalities of them all is nuts. We all see it. We all have a platform. We all have a voice, and they all hold weight. Silence is a luxury. So then before the game, which is hours later, Caitlin Clark is asked again.
Racism, misogyny, whatever. What is your response to that?
Yeah, I think it's disappointing. I think everybody in our world deserves to have the same amount of respect. The women on our league deserve the same amount of respect. So people should not be using my name to push those agendas. It's unacceptable. I think it's just a basic human thing that everybody should do. To be a kind person and treat them, how you would want to be treated.
This answer from Caitlin is good. It's fine. It is the stop doing it that everyone wanted. If I was to nitpick, I'd say I would have loved to hear her say something along the lines of, hey, if you spew racism at a player in this league, you cannot call yourself my fan. You are no fan of mine. Or to acknowledge her privilege in some way. And I can nitpick because look at the ways that her peers talk about this subject. When Paige Bueckers won an ESPY at 19 years old, this was her speech.
With the light that I have now, as a white woman who leads a black-led sport, and celebrated here, I want to show a light on black women. They don't get the media coverage that they deserve.
When asked about the racism and the media's coverage of LSU's team, this is Haley Van Lith's answer.
We do have a lot of black women on this team. We do have a lot of people that are from different areas. And unfortunately, that bias does exist still today. And a lot of the people that are making those comments are being racist. I'll talk trash and I'll get a different reaction than if Angel talks trash. And I have a duty to my teammates to have their back.
Just last week when Cameron Brink was asked about what growing the WNBA looks like to her, she mentioned that she has privilege as a young white player and as a feminine appearing player, and that she has more masculine teammates and non-binary teammates that she wants to uplift. And when everyone's accepted, that's growth. And beyond what other players have said recently, the WNBA as a league has always been centered around social justice. In 2020, the whole league came together as one in support of Say Her Name and Black Lives Matter. The Atlanta Dream literally helped flip the Senate in Georgia. Am I happy Caitlin Clark said what she did? Absolutely. But I also think that as she grows up and finds her footing in the WNBA, she will want to say more.
So thoughts? I know that was a longer
so
video, but
I went to the WNBA All-Star Game.
Yeah, this is how it's perfectly going to lead into the WNBA All-Star Game.
Yeah, so there were a group of people walking around with t-shirts, Caitlin Clark t-shirts, so it's like the Iowa colors, which is yellow and black, and they said, the teacher said, don't hate because she's white and straight.
Oh, no. Nice. Oh, no.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
I need you to know, there are not just white people, Millie.
Well, there'll be people of color on both sides of the race.
Oh my God! I to the process of like designing, printing, creating the shirt.
Getting your friends to buy in and be
putting
like,
putting the shirt on, looking at yourself in the mirror saying, I'm going to wear the shirt. I'm doing it. I'm doing the whole thing. Don't hate because she's white and straight. Damn.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did think while watching that is that, like, that first statement that she made, the bad one, where she, like, doesn't disavow racism, which is, like, an easy thing to do when someone asks you, like, should people be racist on your behalf? You just say no. Is that Chet Hanks defended White Boy Summer more forcefully on Instagram story than she did. He found out that, like, right-wing people were using White Boy Summer in a bad way, and he immediately took to Instagram story to be like, that is not the intention of White Boy Summer.
I think White Boy Summer is for white guys who like women of all colors.
He said queens of queens, all colors. It's actually very important that we get the phrasing. He said White Boy Summer is for men who like queens of all colors.
Speaking of Chet Hanks, we have the Z-Way writer here who got to meet Chet Hanks. And
shout out to Chet.
Shout out to Chet.
And much like my question about Caitlin Clark, what's kind of his energy to watch him in?
You watch a lot of white people that have energies. What say you about Chet Hanks?
Oh, my energy towards Chet?
Or what was Chet's vibe?
Yeah, his Riz level.
Oh, Chet kept flirting with Z-Way while his girlfriend was on set.
Wow. And that, my friend, that's White Boy Summer.
That's what White Boy Summer is. He likes queens of all races.
Queens of all races. Queens of all kind of monogamy types as well, clearly. But back to this statement. Yes, I'm glad that, like, it was corrected. But yeah, it's just really interesting. It's like you, if you're not standing up against, like, people using your, like, you are embracing it, you know, and you want the white in street.
To defend Caitlin Clark, or just to give context, because she's from the Midwest, right?
Yeah, probably.
She's from the Midwest.
I have no idea.
So LeBron, for instance, LeBron has become more vocal about race activism. He's like had the Black Lives Matter shirt in the bubble. But when LeBron was a rookie, he didn't really say anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's just more of a byproduct of his life being completely dedicated towards basketball. Mm. LeBron, I remember LeBron had a Twitter Q&A where he's like, favorite rappers, Jay-Z, Nas. Favorite superhero, Superman, Batman. I just don't think he had time for things outside of the scope of basketball. Mm. And then as he grew as an adult, he was like, oh man, the world is messed up when you're not 6'8 and incredible at basketball. Because I think this happens with, like Pele was open with the Brazilian soccer player. He's just like, well, when you're, like, famous is a class position. Where he's like, people aren't racist to me because, like, yes, I'm a black Brazilian man, but I'm also, like, famous. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm insulated from a lot of the problems in the world. And I think, like, she just has, like, a lot of insulation. And I know the video talked about, like, that is a privilege to be insulated. But it's tough because it's, like, Gen Z and my understanding is that Gen Z is a lot more aware of race, class, privilege, whatever.
Yeah.
But she's also just, like, a white girl from Iowa.
Yeah.
And she's, like, her focus is really basketball. I don't think she's lying when she says that.
And, yeah, I think also, like, people really underestimate how stupid athletes are. and, like, just dumb.
You said it. Yeah. You said it. I think women are smart. Capable.
Wow. I love women are smart.
Wow. Controversial take from Ron.
I do feel like I hear what you're saying, and I think that that is true. And I do feel like probably as an athlete, like, people are always telling you, like, your focus should just be on the game. And also, that maybe she's getting a little bit of that, not to always bring things to Taylor Swift, of that, like, you should never speak on this. Never speak on race, whatever. But at the end of the day, if someone's like, hey, people are using you to be racist, I do feel like most people with two brain cells to rub together know to be like, oh, Dad, definitely don't do that on my behalf.
And I did not think of anyone else but Taylor Swift when you said don't hate on her because she's white and straight.
well, I am wearing that to the Eras tour. Yeah.
When you go to Warsaw.
I'm wearing it to seek Taylor Swift.
And I'm going to have it in Polish on the back so nobody knows, so nobody misses what I'm trying to communicate.
There's not going to be any Polish people there at the Eras tour. It's all going to be Americans.
And other Europeans.
And other Europeans. Really quickly, given all this, how was it seeing Angel and Caitlin work together on the NBA All-Star team this weekend? Because you did just come from Phoenix from watching the WNBA All-Star game. Talk to us about that.
So they played on the same team for the first time, I think for the first time ever. And so the viral clip is Caitlin passing the ball to Angel, like a very nice assist to Angel. And then they slapped hands afterwards. Mm-hmm. And there were quotes that have leaked since then where, like, they were talking to each other in the huddle, just being like, you know, that clip already went viral.
Yeah. So that is fun. I like that.
I think there's a certain, I don't think they're best friends, but I think there's a certain level of, like, mutual respect that they have for each other. There was also, like, Angel passed to Caitlin, and Caitlin just missed the shot. That, like, it was clear they were trying to, like, make a clip because they know that it's good for the sport.
Yeah, you got to work it out on the remix.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems to be what's happening.
It's
yeah.
good for the sport if they, like, interact with each other in some way for good and for bad.
Well, watch that space, guys. I feel like
I will say this, though. People were not giving Caitlin Clark room to breathe. Like, they were guarding. They were, like, face guarding her the whole time.
If you want to say you created, if you want to say you're bringing hype to the WNBA, you better fucking back it up.
Compared to, and, like, the All-Star game is, like, a symbolic event, I think, in men and women's sports. And I think it's a time, especially for young players, where the elders in the game could be like, you're one of us. Like, we're accepting you now. So in the NBA, it's like, you know, Giannis or Embiid, like, when they have their breakout season, they're just like, okay, now you're a part of, like, the fraternity now. I did not get that vibe per se from Team USA toward Caitlin Clark. I think they didn't give her an open shot to be like, hey, do you want to make a half court shot? Like, go for it. They were face guarding her the whole time.
Well, because she was left off of Team USA, so, and a lot of people were saying, like, oh, it's because of this, so they wanted to prove that, like...
Yeah, she didn't belong on Team USA.
But then they did...
They did end up losing. Yeah. I think Team USA could use a point guard, and I think there's a point guard from Iowa that might be available.
Why was she left off Team USA, or is that too much to get into?
She was left... It's political. So leading into the Olympics, they have scrimmages that are like open scrimmages between the best women's players. Caitlin and Angel were always playing in the NCAA tournament when the scrimmages were happening. So these players are building continuity with each other. Some of them have played in Olympics like 4 years ago. And so they like, we're not going to, like, pick this player that no one has ever played with before.
That's fair.
When we have this built-in continuity.
And, like, bench somebody who's been doing the work here.
And bench someone
this white girl that a lot of people don't like anymore. That people have been, like, experiencing racism for and stuff and whatever. Like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So, there's also discourse being, like, they could have added Caitlin, but she wasn't going to play. And they didn't want to get backlash for that. I don't think she deserves to start for the team. And so it's like, but then if all of these people, all the Caitlin fans are watching them play and that Caitlin's not playing, they all become like that terrible mom.
Yeah.
It's like, put my son in the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if like people are already like showing up at the bus of other like players to like yell at them, it's like, yeah, maybe we don't want to like incense this group. But speaking of Team USA, this is a perfect segue to our grasshole of the week. Finally we have a guest who knows the segment, knows what's
going
to happen.
Who's listened to our podcast before.
So we have an Olympic grasshole this week. We're keeping in our sports theme. Today we are talking about gymnast Michaela Skinner. And this is a different Michaela than Michaela Maroney, who's the one who went viral for always being like, having the little face.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different Michaela.
Okay.
I think in gymnastics, kind of every other person is Michaela. This is a different Michaela.
And that Michaela is like Puerto Rican and black or something.
I think Michaela Maroney is pretty white.
Oh, okay, never mind. Oh, that one. Okay.
See, but again, a lot of Michaela. I think we're dealing with a high number of Michaelas in general.
High Michaela volume.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Critical mass of Michaelas in USA Gymnastics, I think, in general. But the one who made the face, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about Michaela Skinner, who's also, like, I believe, white Michaela. Michaela won silver on vault in the Tokyo Olympics and has since retired. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where she stands in the world of gymnastics right now. She had to apologize recently after she basically went on like a YouTube rant that went viral, where she criticized the current makeup of USA Gymnastics and basically implied that they are soft, which is a lot. And aren't able, that basically the coaches aren't able to coach the way they used to out of fear of being reported to this organization called Safe Sport that's an independent entity that handles allegations of abuse. So she's basically being like, you can't say anything these days because of Safe Sport. Like,
yeah, God forbid the U.S. gymnastics team, like, gets a second or third outsider. Not like there was a huge abuse scandal
please speak on it, Millie.
Affected hundreds of women.
Yeah.
And like some, I think, didn't like Larry Nassar like kill himself or something? Like
did he die?
I don't know. Let me look. I thought he's in jail.
I thought
Larry Nassar's in jail.
Because I have here that he's serving a 145 year sentence, but I know that, or 175 year sentence. I know that someone beat him up.
Yeah.
Let me look it up. Can we Google Larry Nassar dead?
Well, that was the first thing that came. He was stabbed in prison, and I don't know if he
looks like he's still kicking. Then
he's alive. Okay, we've got.
But he was stabbed multiple times, twice in the neck, twice in the back, six times in the chest.
Yeah. Okay. So he is not like us.
No. Okay. So literally, yes, exactly to that point. Basically, specifically what Michaela said that got her in trouble is girls just don't have the work ethic. And it's hard to because of Safe Sport. Like, coaches can't get on athletes and they have to be really careful what they say, which in some ways is really good. But at the same time, to get where you need to be in gymnastics, you do have to be, I feel like, a little aggressive and a little intense.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it's good to note, like we just said, USA Women's Gymnastics was famously victimized by a serial pedophile, Larry Nassar, who was their team doctor for 18 years, abused like over 100 people, and is now serving a 175 jail sentence and
got stabbed a bunch,
and is alive despite someone's best efforts. Okay, another thing to keep in mind is in the Tokyo Olympics, Simone Biles famously had to step aside from competing citing mental health reasons, specifically that like the pressure to compete was giving her this condition called the twisties, where like you as a gymnast lose track of, like, you're up there and you're spinning around and you lose track of like where in the spin you are, which can basically completely fuck you over because you don't know when to come out of the spin. So it is dangerous.
There's something similar that they talked about in Ted Lasso season 2, I think. This is so embarrassing.
You're finally outing yourself.
I know. I was like live tweeting Ted Lasso season 3 to Ron, or live texting, and it was because it was tough. But I watched it all. But yeah, but the spins, the thing, like, it's this thing where sometimes, like, the pressure gets so much on a sports player that they forget how to do things that are secondary to them.
Yeah.
And it becomes actually physically dangerous if you're trying to land properly.
I remember at the time this was happening, someone describing it as, like, you're driving a car, and then in the middle of it, you forget how to drive a car. And, like, just, like, driving a car, and you're like, oh, my God, I don't know how this works, or, like, whatever. So the thing that's interesting about that is Simone Biles stepping down is what got Skinner on the team.
Yeah.
Skinner subbed in for Biles, and that's how she ended up with her silver medal. Brazilian Rebecca Andrade took the gold. But it's like she's literally there because people have resources and like mental health resources.
Yeah.
And number three, Skinner trained under team coordinators Bella and Marta Caroli, who are a husband and wife team known for being extremely abusive to athletes. They had to step down after the Larry Nassar scandal because they were like buddy-buddy with him.
Nice.
And Skinner herself has said in interviews that she was scared to return to the team in 2019 because of the emotional abuse she suffered at the hands of Crowley, who wasn't even involved in the organization anymore. Nice. So, like, for her to say this shit is just crazy.
So they did the this you to her.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like,
well, also, like, it just reminds me of, like, boomer women who are like, I can't believe everyone makes such a big deal about Me Too. Like, of course your boss is going to touch your ass all the time. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah,
why have you accepted that this is how the world should be? Like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, why?
But they always say some shit like that where it's like, clearly they were abused, but they're, like, lashing out that there are resources now for other people to not.
Yes, so it's very that. So, and she also, like, came for the current gymnastics team, very specifically, she said, besides Simone, I feel like the talent and the depth just isn't what it used to be. Just notice, I mean, like, obviously, a lot of the girls don't work as hard. The girls just don't have the work ethic, which is, I think it's funny that she leaves Simone out of it because it's like, don't speak on Simone Biles. Yeah, like, yeah. Like, you can't say shit about Simone Biles, but also it's like, you weren't even initially on the team.
You didn't work hard enough.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they actually outright made a team that you weren't even. Yeah. And it's like,
also to come out with that video before they even get a chance to compete in the Olympics.
Yeah. Right?
Is wild, because you're just setting yourself up to look stupid
when
they inevitably win medals.
Right, exactly. Because it's like, the USA Gymnastics is extremely dominant. Yeah, like, obviously, so other gymnastics
Russia
teams,
ain't going to be there.
Yeah, like, there are other gymnasts
not this
in the
year.
Game. No.
Russia ain't competing.
I feel like this episode we're learning a lot about the psychology of athletes.
Yeah.
And what it takes psychologically to be an athlete.
Not much, apparently.
The video was not received well.
And there's also, like, a racial undertone, too, in that video. I've heard.
Is the team mostly black right now?
The team is a very mixed, and Michaela is this white Mormon girl.
Oh, of course.
There's something in there. So, she probably got a little bit too much dirty soda as they drink there. You know what the fuck they put in soda in the Utah? It's sick, dude.
What?
They, like, you never heard of dirty?
No. I've never heard of dirty soda.
I heard it. Were you talking about dirty Sprite?
No. They, like, you know how people have, like, jazzed up water for their Stanley Cups?
Mm-hmm.
These people will go to places, like Mormons, and they will drink soda with, like, extra syrups and, like, all kinds of shit, like, make soda cocktails.
Well, that's kind of the most fun they're allowed to have, beverage-wise. Right?
Well, but that and soaking. put a pin in that discourse.
You can't even have caffeine. I'm putting syrups in my soda.
Syrups are going in soda.
I have to have some joy. I gotta wear crazy underwear.
Yeah,
stuff.
You gotta wear crazy underwear.
Do you think Michaela was fucking in the Olympic Village?
Michaela Skinner?
Skinner.
No, she, I mean, I don't know.
I you know what, Ron? I can't speak to that at all. I have no idea if she was fucking in the Olympic Village.
Because it was Tokyo, so it was, like, super crazy.
Oh, yeah, they didn't even give them good beds.
They put
gave
them cardboard
beds
so that they wouldn't fuck.
Yeah, and it was, like, COVID time,
and
so
it was
I do
COVID,
feel like
so
it
no
was
one
probably
was
really hard to, like,
the whole thing's gonna happen in Paris for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But not, maybe that's, well, maybe that's why she's tight.
She's upset.
She wanted to cheat on her husband.
She got the COVID safe Olympics, and she wanted the Bacchanal Olympics. Yeah.
Well, she wasn't even gonna go to the COVID safe Olympics.
Well, exactly. Speak on it.
Okay. So, video not received well. She deletes it. She first tries to address the whole thing just on Instagram story, which is very, you know, like, level one of trying to apologize, where she goes, this is in a July 3rd Instagram story. I feel like a lot of you guys had misinterpreted or misunderstood exactly what I was meaning or had said. A lot of the stuff I was talking about wasn't always necessarily about the current team, but she also did literally say, I feel like the current team isn't good. Because I love and support all the girls that made it, and I'm so proud of them. I was more going back to my own gym, and I'm not sticking up for Marta or saying that what she did was good. I'm just saying that it was different. Sorry for anything that got out of context or seemed hurtful.
I hate this.
throughout the video, I was so pumped for the girls, and it was so fun watching trials and doing a live with everybody. So she pulled a sorry if anything got taken out of context or seemed hurtful.
Yeah, nice. That's a rough one.
That's terrible.
She also invoked this very abusive woman again. And then, so again, this is now not received well.
Yeah, of course.
So backlash to the backlash. Exactly. Ron mentioned it. This is how fucking deep in Grass Nation he is.
Backlash to the backlash.
He's not only an active citizen, he's participating in primary elections. He's the elections for city councilor. He's voting in them.
I'm knocking on doors.
He's canvassing. He's not just, you know, whatever.
So, per the backlash to the backlash, all, like, this means that now we've had to go to basically like an elevated notes app apology. I'm going to show you like it's
that's
graphic
Jeopardy.
Design.
It's in the Jeopardy font.
It's giving Jeopardy.
And it has a little fake signature from her that's nice. In like another font at the bottom.
And a curly font.
But it's a square text in the Jeopardy font that says, "Dear Team USA and our gymnastics community, I want to formally apologize to Team USA and to our gymnastic community for my comments during my recent YouTube episode of the Gymnastic Olympic Trials. It was not my intention to offend or disrespect any of the athletes or to take away from their hard work. Your hard work and dedication has paid off, and I congratulate each and every one of you. Upon reflection, I was comparing the Marta era to the current era. I am coming to terms that I have not fully dealt with the emotional and verbal abuse that I endured under Marta that perhaps led to my hurtful comments.
Okay.
I take full responsibility for what I said, and I deeply apologize. It is most important to me that the sport I love continue down a path of healing and ensures a positive environment for all. I wish you all the best in Paris. I will be cheering you all on. Go Team USA. Love, Michaela," in curly font. So what makes this grassroots-y to me is that it's like, you came online to bash the most beloved Olympic team that we have that has gone through all of this abuse that is very, very well documented at this point. Kind of like cape for the abuse. And then you turn around and use having experienced that abuse and be like, I just haven't come to terms with the abuse I experienced. And it's like, but you were saying that
was
the
good.
Team
they
was
need
better.
More, they need more abuse in order to reach their potential.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I feel like.
She's saying hurt people hurt people.
But hurt people need to log off.
Hurt people need to log off. And for that reason, we say, Michaela Skinner,
go touch grass.
That was a great episode.
We really did it.
We really got into sports. I apologize if you don't like sports.
But you like them now.
But you like them now.
Because how good the episode was.
Because the episode was so good. We got the tea.
Ron,
where can people find you besides the Go Touch Grass Discord?
You know, I'm covered in money in the Go Touch Grass Discord, so holler at me there. Ronald Metellus _ on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm posting.
Yeah. He's posted.
I'm posting. I got stories.
Nothing else? No TikTok? No
Twitter? I'm off
of
Twitter. I'm off of TikTok.
Wow, just IG.
I'm just IG. I'm kind of an IG model.
You hear that, Adam Mosseri? You're kind of an IG model. You're not, but we'll move on. You can find me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and TikTok. And at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. I'm still there. I don't know what I'm doing. You can find this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Elise, where can the people find you?
Guys, you can still find me at Pandalise on Instagram, trying to change that handle.
Yeah.
If we'll anybody get Elise at Meta, if in between the last time I asked and now, someone at Meta has started listening, please.
Yeah.
I am trying to change it. And Elise Navidad everywhere else.
We'll get Elise Navidad
on
Instagram.
We're on the road to Elise Navidad.
We're on the road to Elise Navidad. It's happening.
It's happening.
We are going to get someone at Meta to hear my pleas.
Yes. Well,
until next time, go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.